This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. Thanks for joining us today on our very first episode. Everyone probably knows the term ring chasing, which athletes use to describe their goal of winning a championship. Well, king chasing is a term that brings the focus back to Christ and seeking Him first. Be sure to check out our website at thenccaa.org for more king chasing content. Well, I'm excited about our guest today, Dan Wood, who I've personally been blessed to work with at the NCCAA for over 5 years. Dan is the NCCAA Executive Director and has been since 2000. With over 35 years of service in higher education, Dan has been a coach, faculty member, and athletic administrator at Limestone College, Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and Indiana Wesleyan University. He's been inducted into Southern Wesleyan's Hall of Fame as a student athlete and Oklahoma Wesleyan's Hall of Fame as a coach and athletic director. He has written for a variety of publications on subjects ranging from student athlete recruitment to population diversity and faith-based institutions. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you guys enjoy this conversation with Dan. Well, Dan, welcome to King Chasing, our first ever episode. We're happy to have you on. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Brandon. Excited to be part of this. This is good stuff.
Well, we're happy to have you on. We'll go ahead and jump right in. So you took the role of executive director about 20 years ago. From your perspective, how has the NCCAA evolved during that time?
A lot of it's kind of been paced probably along with the general college athletics scene. So much of it now is social media related. There's so much information share, even in the small college model. There's so much data, so much chatter back and forth. Everybody has an opinion, and they're right. So that changes things. It doesn't hopefully cause us to be impulsive, but it's played implications. I think probably the number one change has been structure. We're bigger as a national office staff. I don't think we're big enough yet. You would probably say amen to that, but we've grown and it's been rapid. And we still have more growth that we need to better serve members. I think we've changed in governance, the quality of our governance, the updating of handbooks and bylaws and policies to be more accurate with today. That'll be fluid and from time to time, but some things just needed a general overhaul. So that was healthy. I think probably the big thing has been determining as a staff, as a board, as God has guided us, that mission will drive us. And that's actually not just a spiritual thing. That's not just the Jesus answer. It's a business plan. And I say that from this standpoint. When I started this role, I sat down with leaders from the NCAA and the NAI. They were welcoming me to this role. We have reciprocal agreements, et cetera. And both parties told me, man, I think NCCAA could thrive if it wasn't for the burden you have of the cross and being faith-based, that you could probably serve the small college community well, but that's got to be tough. And I told them in 2000, Brandon, I remember vividly, I disagree with you. I actually think that it is the one thing we do that none of you all are doing, and that as the future goes, and again, this is scriptural, as mankind kind of slips further away from the cross, I think it's going to be even a more key piece. And now it's proven to be true. We lead now with using intercollegiate athletics to serve the Great Commission. We do championships, we do sports, we do network, but everything we do drives through a mission, and it's a missional statement. If it doesn't fit in our lane, we don't get out of that. We say no to some things that other entities might say yes to, but it's been critical for us to stay missional. We're missional in our hires, we're missional in our membership, and we're missional in our programming. And that's a really comfortable place to be sometimes when you're trying to compete. We're trying to stay on target with the mission, and that's probably been one of the biggest changes, along with the fact that we've really seen our Division II, the model of our Division IIs change drastically over 20 years. They, in 2000, almost every Division II school we had was really a Bible college nature. They were really ministry missionary training centers. That's changed. Most of them now are liberal arts institutions under a Christian model, but they're offering a variety of degrees, and they've added sports. So that's also been a big change.
You mentioned that we're driven by the mission. I know the NCCA just recently launched its King Chasing program, which helps institutions keep Christ at the center of the student athlete experience. What are you most excited about with this program?
Well, most excited, number one, that it's launched. It's probably easy to say that maybe it's always been in the DNA, Brandon, but it wasn't formulative. It wasn't the way it's been developed now. It's really now we can communicate it. We can share it. We already, the exciting things, we have institutions who have that some have dove into the deep end of the pool on this. It literally is their theme for 21-22 at their institution, not just in athletics. We have presidents who have embraced this with their staff and cabinets. I was on a campus just yesterday. They're looking at how to bring it into their community better. They love the word and the phrase, but the concept, they're like, this is outstanding. So number one, I'm glad we're off and running. Number two, I think it's good, and I hope that it becomes one of our leading brands pieces of us. If we talk about anything around office, staff, members, and convention, that mission, back to mission, is what drives us, not the ring, not the banner. We want to compete, and I want them to compete hard. I want them to compete well, and I want teams to win. I want them to excel, but not at the risk of leaving the mission of NCCA and their school, but most importantly, the gospel. That's priority one. So I think the other side of it is this. I think it's a distinctive line. I don't think the creation of it, and you had played a big role in that. I don't think this was our goal. But this is a definitive line between us and the NAIA or the NCAA or the USCAA or the JUC or NJCAA. We're the only ones putting Christ out ahead of the ring. And that's good. It's not divisive, but it is definitive, and I'm excited about that.
That's great. So a big piece of King Chasing is the game plan for life, which has the characteristics of love, integrity, faith, and excellence. The game plan for life is actually something that's been around for many years. Can you kind of talk about how the game plan for life was created and what your goal was for it when it started?
Yeah, I go back to what I said about I'm glad we're at the starting line and off and running with King Chasing, because we had a hard time getting game plan for life there. And part of its staffing, part of its how, part of its utilization. But Game Plan for Life developed around an ad I saw in the USA Today newspaper in 2005. It was a Division I institution ad by the parents of a certain program who had been railroaded, to be candid, by a corrupt DA, district attorney. And there were things said they did at a party that didn't happen. Now, what happened at the party was awful. It was carnal. It was underage drinking. It was bad behavior. It wasn't Christ-like. The illegal stuff that they were accused of was wrong. So the ad wanted us as America to all stand up and give these young men a standing ovation. You ready for this? Because of their high character. And I sat there getting ready to go get on an airplane at the time with a 15-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son. And I'm going, that's high character? This is what our culture is going to tell my son and daughter is, don't go ahead and be sinful. Go ahead and be carnal. Just don't be legal. I'm like, no, that can't be the end game on this. And so we started delving in. A lot of folks had a character piece. No one had a biblical character piece. And so we developed four traits that we think Christ put on this planet in the way he lived, and he did it in a way that no one can contradict how he did love, the integrity of his mission, his faithfulness to the Father, and the excellent manner in which he did what he did. And those are our four traits. We've used them. We've spoken 2 points through the years. We've had every year we have a theme, faith, or love, integrity, faith, or excellence. This year, win the year of faith, for example. But we haven't taken it any further, per se. But we've had schools embrace it. but not, again, in a formulative way that king chasing now brings to the table. I think we would say game plan kind of gave birth to the king chasing program. And to be honest, really now game plan kind of falls under that in some ways. And I think the four traits still stand the test of time. Putting them to better use now, I think, is going to be the exciting thing. And again, even the graphics of it, the compass kind of concept was, you know, this is a game plan for life. This isn't a game plan for freshman year basketball, sophomore year volleyball, senior year track and field or wrestling. This is a game plan for life, earthly and eternal. And I still think that it's an exciting piece that's going to grow within what we do.
So you mentioned that program that had some issues with the law and everything, and I'm sure there's athletic directors across the country trying to avoid those same situations. So what are some practical ways that athletic directors can use Game Plan for Life characteristics and the King Chasing program to integrate faith within their athletic department?
Yeah, as a coach for 16 years, at some point in time, the Rolodex of devotions and challenges gets dry. You can regurgitate them, change them, try to keep them fresh. The other thing is student athletes at some time get tired of hearing their coach. That's not fair. It's like kids get tired of hearing their parents. The 15-year-old won't listen to mom and dad. The senior won't listen to coach, but they'll listen to another coach. They'll listen to another outside the family person who speaks truth into them. I think this is another tool. Again, we're a service organization. We're not the dog wagging our members' tail. We're the tail. We're serving membership. This is a service tool. We're going to give you monthly devotions. They've been out now for years. I hope they're using those, maybe launching off from those for even their team devos. We're going to try to give them a theme each year. Hey, there's a target. So as you're working through all the preseason and planning, well, here's a theme if it works for you. If not, make your own. But even to spur them on to do something similar is fine with us. I think the other tool is it is fixed. You're never going to be able to question the love of Jesus Christ. You can't question that. You're never going to be able to question the integrity of how he did what he did, the faith he showed in his Father, not just himself, but in his Father and the mission and the excellent manner in which he did it. I even talk about the excellent way he died, the excellent way he processed going to die. That would be healthy as we sit in a culture where we all want to live for stinking ever anymore. It's saying that's not going to happen. History is real clear. We're all going to die. Many of us are going to die, and it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to have a beautiful sound backdrop. This is a game plan for life. So you can hand these off. I am talking to 200 to 300 of my former players, and I love social media literally for that one reason. I still get to do life. Many of them are now coaches. We still talk about those traits that didn't even exist in Game Plan for Life, but they were four traits that were I tried to incorporate into my coaching and program. They still talk about how they're now doing that, some in secular schools, some in Christian colleges. And it's not because the plan was brilliant or the four traits are the best. It's because they're true. And they've stood the test of time. And if we're learning anything about culture, so many things aren't. They were good for 12 months. They had a short shelf life. These traits are things our coaches can use. And to be honest, they can cycle them every 4 years. Freshmen, so they get every trait through a cycle. If you have a grad student, maybe you hope they forgot the freshman year and it'll seem fresh. Or maybe they help partner. Maybe they help lead that. We have programs where I know they've taken the four traits and they actually have a coordinator. They have a person who leads love actions for their team. They have a person who leads integrity actions. Before we really had shout outs, they shout out qualities when a student athlete on the team stands up and shows great integrity scripturally or of Christ, and they shout out to them. They do the same with great faith, and they do the same with excellence, and they report monthly on how that goes. How are we doing love, integrity, faith, excellence? I don't know that it's infinity on how they can use it, but I would say coaches can use it. They can incorporate it. I hope that as it branches into back to the king chasing, I'm hoping people are slapping the logo, the graphic on t-shirts, on websites, on just the growth model of this, because this is the thing, Brandon, that for years to come, this will stand the test of time. Whoever's in this seat 20 years from now, if they're doing this again, with someone else on a, you know, podcast through their wrist and it's embedded or whatever, how they're doing it. I hope they're still talking about biblical traits. I hope they're still talking about chasing the king that will still be the king at that time.
That's great. That's great stuff. So as a former athletic director and coach, what's something that you wish you would have done differently that might be helpful to our podcast listeners?
Well, number one, I wish when I started in 1982, I wish the young men at Limestone College had gotten what the young men at Oklahoma Wesleyan and Indiana Wesleyan got. I was not a cross-focus coach. I wish I was. I was not. I cared about them. I loved them. But I didn't speak eternal truth into their lives because I didn't have it myself. I had a history of faith and almost a heritage of great Christian faith. I loved Jesus. I just didn't want to serve him. And he sure didn't sit on my throne. So those guys got shortchanged as far as that. So I would challenge a coach, come out of the gate leading with mission. Come out of the gate leading with what we just talked about, the things that are going to be true 30 years down where you're going into Hall of Fames. Let them be the legacy of your whole program. So I wish I'd started out better from that standpoint. I wish I'd required more leadership from some of my players. Maybe release some things to them. I still love the program I just mentioned, or the programs at this school. I wish I'd had players who, hey, I need you to lead this area of integrity. I need you to lead this area of how are we as a team going to love our campus and our community? How are we going to love each other? I took that role thinking as coach, leader, you have to do that. And yet when I look at scripture, you know, Christ had leaders among the 12. Peter, James, and John seemed to be leaders. They went to him to places the other nine didn't get to go. Mount of Transfiguration, a little closer in the garden. So I think Christ was maybe giving some leaders. He told them to go get the food for the 5,000. You go find it. And they did. They found enough for a family of eight. And he turned it into 5,000 because he was the king. But he gave them roles to fail or succeed. I love that. I think one of the most beautiful pictures is he gave Peter the ability to lead. Okay, you say you're not going to deny me? I hope that's true. Go. He still wanted to build his church on that guy. He knew that pre-crucifixion. Peter did not. Peter failed. Man, as coaches, there were times that I jumped all over the failure kid, the kid who came up short. You embarrassed our program. You embarrassed our school. You embarrassed the cross. Christ taught us real soon that one of his first tasks after coming out of that grave was, I got to find the dude who's going to build my church. And I'm going to rebuild him. I'm going to make sure he knows I planned to call on him to build the church when I was heading to the cross. I'm just coming to confirm it now that I'm out of the grave. So I wish I'd entrusted more to my players. I think the last thing I wish kept, my wife Kelly's always been my best assistant coach, whether it was men's soccer, men's golf. She was just tremendous. She poured into the players. She really poured into players' girlfriends, in some cases, wives. I wish I'd put her more at leadership in front of my guys some. I think it would have been healthy for my young men to have heard from a godly woman, literally a Proverbs 31 kind of wife, and to have heard from her and hear and even see, guys, that's what you want to marry right there. Yeah, she's beautiful to the eye, but man, she's so gorgeous to the soul. And I wish that a lot of them saw that. I talked to former players who still talk about her and her role. I wish I'd promoted it more. A, she deserved it, and B, they would have been better men for it.
It's an excellent point. Even for them to see you two interact and see what a healthy marriage looks like for them to aspire to. That's a great point.
Yep.
So what are maybe 2 to 3 books that you'd recommend for anybody looking to dive in a little further on integrating faith within their program or athletic department?
Yep. I'll show my age. The older I get, the more I recommend the Bible. I love great authors. I love men and women who can take scriptural truth, make it more, not culturally relevant, but more current. I get that. More better examples, what life looks at, sits Christ. I get all that. Historical. And so I'll name 2 good authors, I think, after this. But man, I think we're missing it too often in the modern church that the Bible's still the best. Every one of these great authors is launching, if they're really a Christian author, from scriptural truth.
That's so true.
They're not creating new truth. They're rephrasing it. They're making better acronyms so we can make more graphics and jewelry and have better coffee at church and all this stuff. But man, the Bible is still the place. I'm not so old that I'm here to tell you which translation. I want the one that changes your soul. That's the translation I want you to read. If you want to read the Message, if you want to listen to it on a podcast, on a audio book, I like having mine in hand. I've got a Bible. The one I'm currently on is about 20 years old from my kids and my wife. You've heard me talk about, Brandon, the Hebrews 11 continuum. I have a list of some 180 to 200 names now in the border of Hebrews 11. It goes down here, up here, down here. I'll run out of space. So I need a new Bible. But it's people who are in my Hebrews 11 continuum. People who have, if I was to write the Bible today and God says, you do Hebrews, I would be listing my parents in my Hebrews 11 impact heroes, my wife, my son, some of our staff, coaches, players, Leroy, who the homeless dude we all met here at our office, people who spoke into my faith and deepened it. So I like a physical Bible from that standpoint. But I think the Bible, number one. Number two, great book, more modern, Lead for God's Sakes by a guy named Todd Gonwehr. He's now known because he's speaking to Dabo Swinney's football team annually, Urban Meyer's team, be it Ohio State or now the Jags, other coaches along the division. His name's become bigger. His voice has been constant. And that is, what does real servant leadership look like? So that's a easy read, and it's sports. It's a sports setting. So I'll leave it at that. The other one is a current one, and my pastor recommended it to me with this sentence. Don't read this because it's going to wreck you. And it's called Until Unity by Francis Chan. Kelly and I are now reading it together, and it is wrecking us, especially me. Church is a divisive place. We got to call it what it is. And we've made it that way. It didn't just happen. The enemy played a role. But this book, I would recommend to everyone, but especially, to be candid, those in the church, those in the faith. What does real Christian unity look like? And more importantly, what does it not look like? What's not worth fighting about? And Francis Chan has a phenomenal perspective in my place because of his journey. And I recommend it. And I would say that one, all of these are good for every age, teens to old people. But I think especially Until Unity and the Bible would be the first two I would tell every generation. But this is good for our students. Until Unity would be healthy. I pray this generation will make our church more of what Francis Chan describes, because our generation, to be quite frankly, haven't done a really great job with some of that.
I love those recommendations. Thanks for sharing that. That concludes our time. We really appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy guy. So thank you so much for joining King Chasing today.
Thank you, Brandon. Appreciate all the effort, and look forward to future podcasts.
Well, thanks again to Dan for being part of our first episode of King Chasing. And thanks also to you guys, our listeners, for tuning in wherever you are today. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. We'd also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Maybe you know a coach or an athletic director who's trying to build a culture within their team or athletic department that keeps Christ as the focus. We hope this podcast can help them on that journey. Once again, we're thankful to you for listening in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.